From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. This month, Bonner General Health, the only hospital in a city of about 9,000 people, announced they would no longer be delivering babies or providing other pregnancy and childbirth care. Located in Sandpoint, this hospital provided several reasons for discontinuing the service, one of them being Idaho's legal and political climate. Now, without labor and delivery services in the city of Sandpoint, expecting moms will now have to drive to the next closest hospital for care. That's 46 miles away. Kelsey Mosley Morris, a national reproductive rights reporter with State's Newsroom, reported on this story, and she's joining us now to talk more about this. Kelsey, it's nice to have you back on the program.
Hey, good to have you. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Kelsey, has this announcement been a long time coming, or was it unexpected for the folks who live in Sandpoint?
Well, I'm not sure about the community itself. I think it probably was a surprise to them because that you get used to having something reliable in your community and it's your only resource. And I think it probably came as a shock to them. But for anybody who's been following medical care for any number of years, we know that rural clinics have been struggling for a long time, especially as costs have gone up during inflation and, you know, people have had recruitment troubles for quite a while for nurses, for any kind of specialty, really. So this wasn't a surprise to people who've been paying attention, but if you were not, then this is a pretty shocking development that is going to cause a lot of ripple effects.
So I know that even though the hospital will be ending services, they said they're going to attempt to continue delivering babies through through May 19th, excuse me. But there's no guarantee that that will actually happen. So can you explain that?
Well, the big thing here is they don't have enough pediatricians to be on hand when people are delivering babies. And that is in part because of the changing demographics in Sandpoint. So they cited those changing demographics in their press release of, you know, older people are moving in, coming to Sandpoint to retire. You know, a lot of people moving from California have moved to North Idaho, but not a lot of families. And I think they said they admitted 10 or less pediatric patients in 2022, and they delivered 265 babies, which is not nothing. But it's not very much for somebody who's looking to operate a practice there. And especially somebody who's like a neonatologist, which is the person who does resuscitations, who does premature babies, cares for them, that type of thing. They are having a really hard time finding people to be able to come to their rural communities to do those types of specialties because honestly, they can't afford them in a lot of cases. They can go to a big urban area and make a lot more money. And so it's just been really hard for them to keep those people on hand. They've been using something called, well, we can't remember the terminology. It's some Latin phrase to fill in staffing gaps when they have them. But it's expensive, and it's kind of like having a traveling nurse or, you know, a traveling specialist, and they just can't afford it anymore. And so it's just been a really difficult thing for them.
Yeah. So can we talk about one of the issues that I mentioned that Bonner General Health cited, and that is, quote, Idaho's legal and political climate, unquote, is one of the reasons that they're discontinuing labor and delivery services. Now, they stated that it would be extraordinarily difficult, those are their words, to recruit replacements to the staff. So so talk a little bit about this, Kelsey, because we're seeing this throughout the country in states that have put very strict abortion bans in place.
Yeah, and with all those other factors in place, this is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back in a lot of ways, where you already have these challenges recruiting physicians, and then you add on top of it, they said, you know, Idaho's legislature keeps passing these laws that are criminalizing physicians, and those laws are doing that because they don't want to criminalize the pregnant person. And so they've gone after the physicians in every case, including the ban and including the civil law that allows lawsuits against providers from family members, even including like if someone is raped, their family members can sue a physician for providing an abortion. So the fact that they have criminalized these services and made it a lot more difficult to, you know, think about risk assessments and, you know, what kind of decision making they're going to have to do when they're faced with a situation of life and death, when they're faced with a situation of debilitating health outcomes versus providing an abortion. You know, nobody in a care position wants to be faced with that. And, you know, one of the doctors who left or has given her notice was recently on a podcast, This American Life from NPR, or it might not be at NPR anymore. Anyway, she talked about how she has children, and she, I think she has two or three children, and nobody wants to think about being charged with a felony and going to jail when they have kids at home and they have a family. And so it's just, it's putting them in an impossible position of trying to continue to be a physician that is making the best medical decisions.
And I mean, I think, Kelsey, we're seeing that, as I mentioned, across the country, right? In these states that have put these bans in place. And it's interesting because, you know, they've criminalized this, as you mentioned, criminalizing physicians. Like, let's say there's an ectopic pregnancy while there's still a heartbeat. So therefore, you have to wait until really the mother's life is in absolute and utter danger. And yet you have legislators saying, well, no, I mean, that's, you know, that's fine. Don't think, you know, we wouldn't criminalize you for that. It's like, well, it doesn't work that way. When you put a law in the books, you put a law in the books. And so with that said, what in the reporting that you have done, is this one of the primary reasons that these labor and delivery services are stopping, or did they cite other reasons as well?
Well, like I said, the rural clinics like this one have been struggling for a while, and this is just making an already difficult situation impossible. You know, you can't reach out to these people and be like, we're going to pay you less. We're going to have you in this rural community where it's the only hospital. You're not going to have that many patients. You are also going to be potentially a felon if you make a decision that the courts or somebody of a family member decides is wrong. And so it's kind of a hard sell. And especially when those people are hard to come by anyway, when you've got specialists who can go anywhere they want. And I think the thing about these laws is there's no good options for these physicians. And when it comes to the one federal case we have, what's preventing right now emergency rooms from being subject to this is an injunction against the state from going after ER doctors. I listened to a story the other day from a physician who talked about a pregnant woman who came in her first trimester of pregnancy from a car accident, and her pelvis was completely shattered, and she had blood inside of her uterus, but the baby still had a heartbeat. And so what is a physician supposed to do if that law is in effect? They're not protected from this law if they want to save that person's life. Like, there's too many variables to consider when it comes to these situations. And it makes it impossible to want to practice here if you're a physician.
So let's talk about these expecting moms. Where are they going to have to go then to get care now that Bonner General is no longer offering services?
So it's not quite just the one in Coeur d'Alene that they'll have access to. There is one in Washington, in Newport, I believe it's called, that is small. It's very small. It's even smaller than the Sandpoint Clinic, but it does provide obstetric services. I'm just unclear on what that means for people's insurance. I don't know what kind of insurance they take there. So if you need something in Idaho, your closest option will be Kootenai Health in Coeur d'Alene, which is about an hour drive. And this is North Idaho, so that's going to be kind of a risky proposition in the winter. And those winters up there are pretty long. I think there was also a referral to Montana and Libby, which I'm unclear on how big that one is, but that's another situation where it's across state lines. So Kootenai Health is probably going to be their best bet. And that's also going to put more strain on Kootenai Health because they're going to have an influx of more patients.
Okay. So, So Kelsey, I have had two children. I've had obstetric care. You know, making an hour drive during your first and second trimester, not that big of a deal. By the time you're in your third trimester, you are seeing your doctor. If you have no complications, you are seeing your doctor once a week. And, you know, then going into labor, or if there is some type of medical emergency, like let's say you stop feeling the baby kick and you need to go in and you need to maybe potentially have, you know, an emergency C-section. I mean, that's there are so many scenarios that that really place mom and baby in danger. So if a medical emergency comes up in a pregnancy, will these women have access to Bonner General even if they're not providing services, or are they going to have to somehow go an hour drive hoping that they make it in time?
I am honestly unclear on what their options will actually be. I would imagine if you need to go to the ER right away, there will still be somebody there to provide stabilizing care because they're required to. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, in those situations where you stop feeling the baby kick, I had that problem with my pregnancy a couple years ago where I was just concerned and I was scared. And the 20-minute drive it took from my house to the hospital felt like a long time, let alone an hour. Mm-hmm. And so I'm unclear if there's like any life flight options or anything like that for these people. I think there might be from Kootenai Health too, or like if people from Kootenai Health came to Sandpoint to take you, that might be an option. But I think there's a lot of confusion right now about what the options actually are for people. And, mm-hmm. you know, the routine care part is, you know, it'll be an option, but it's still a lot of gas money. It's a lot of time out of your life that you otherwise wouldn't be having to devote to it. And like you said, especially if you're high risk, you might be having to do that twice a week. Or if you're an advanced age, there's so many variables that are going to make this hard. And, you know, some people have talked about making midwives more of an available resource up there. But that's another thing where midwives are only going to be able to take you so far during a home birth or something along those lines. And if you have complications, they're supposed to send you to a hospital. And that's...
Well, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kelsey, but midwives also, many midwives won't take a person who has any issues, right?
Right.
I mean, because they know that they know what their level of care is. So let's say you have a complication, maybe you have a health issue, right? They won't take you on as a patient. And you're right that if there then is an emergency during the delivery, the midwives don't have access to a hospital.
Exactly. It just becomes a much more dangerous situation that, and they don't want to be on the hook for it either. You know, that can lead to lawsuits and all manner of things. So it's putting all the burden on physicians again to help with these situations.
So what about accessibility then? I mean, so alternative care options would potentially be midwives, but are there other options that the community has come up with, or are we just in, you know, are folks in Sandpoint just in the situation they're in?
It kind of seems like they're just in the situation they're in at this point. And like I said, we're going to have to see how long or how that affects places like Kootenai Health and how long that extends wait times, because Idaho already struggles with physician resources in general, especially in rural areas. We are 50th in the nation in terms of physicians per 100,000 people, I think it is. And so we already have too few physicians for how many people we have, and that extends your wait times a lot. And so even if you're not pregnant, your lack of access to care is still going to be an issue. And, you know, you're going to have to wait longer and potentially have to drive even further to find someplace that can take you within 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just huge domino effects have arisen with everything that's going on. Kelsey, appreciate you coming in and talking to us and reporting on this as well.
Anytime.
We have been speaking with Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking with Kelsey Mosley Morris, a national reproductive rights reporter with States Newsroom. We've been discussing the recent discontinuation of labor and delivery services at Bonner General Health, that is in Sandpoint in North Idaho. We will, of course, put a link to Kelsey's story at the Idaho at the States Newsroom on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast White Lies.